Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
12 days in, 13 days in, over 8,000 tips. That number just keeps rising. A delivery driver detained, questioned for hours. Home search, then released. He says agents told him his eyes resembled the mask figure. His mother-in-law thought it. That's not going to be a fun Christmas. A black glove recovered 1.5 miles from the home. FBI Director Kash Patel personally posting footage on social media. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is with us to help us try and understand what's going on behind the scenes, especially when you have a case like this and they're asking for help and people are giving tips. The reality is there's only so many people to run down these tips once they come in, and you got 8,000 or more of them coming in, thousands pretty much on a daily basis right now. How on earth do they handle that load? How do you prioritize when you got somebody saying, hey, I got this video doorbell here. Hey, I think this. Hey, I got this. All different types of tips, different ways of communicating this. And only so many humans to do the follow-up. How are they doing this?
I'm going to tell you, and these were always my favorite cases, is running these command posts and being in the epicenter of this, because it's amazing to watch. You literally have banks of individuals that are taking in these calls. From there, you have these write-ups that are written, and then you have agents that are making decisions, triaging that information. In other words, yeah, we need to get on this. No, this is a cuckoo bird. This needs to be looked at, but it's not as time sensitive. And then you literally have teams standing by of agents and officers that are ready to descend. So here's your next assignment. Here's your next assignment. And you literally have this very organized blitzkrieg of information that comes in, but then is handled as timely as humanly possible. So it's a beautiful thing to see. And this is what the FBI does the best.
Ransom notes. Obviously we've seen a lot of those come and go, and time windows pass and no money, changing hands, and also no proof of life either. A lot of speculation as to, is there any legitimacy to these ransom notes? Do they have anything to do with Nancy Guthrie's disappearance, or are they completely noise? Connected or noise, Jen? What do you think?
Noise. Okay. Listen, this ransom note fiasco is what happens behind the scenes on so many cases. Mm-hmm. This is not unique. What's unique about it is that everybody's hearing about it and watching it play out really, you know, real time, because it's in this case. But these people are extortionists. They are pathetic. They prey on these families and pray for money. But listen, came in 3 days late. They did not target the family. They went straight to the media. When they weren't getting the media play they hoped to get, they went to TMZ, finally got the media play they hoped to get. I really don't think this is going to be connected, and I don't think this ever had anything to do with money. This had to do with torture of the family.
Let me ask, okay, why? What's the motive here? What is the motive? Like, just somebody, what are your thoughts?
Whack-a-doodle. Yeah. This is what these people do. It happens with all, behind the scenes so often. It's unbelievable. They even get the person's voice.
Sure.
Use that. They send out ransom demands with the people's faces. This is not unusual.
Sure. I guess I think I didn't phrase my question right. I'm not asking why. I get why. I mean, some horrible actor would be like, hey, let's try and, you know, get some money and torture this family. And, you know, but I guess my question more so is if all of these ransom notes are simply noise, and we're really talking about two completely separate cases. Take all the ransom out of it. Take all of the videos that Savannah and her family has done begging and pleading and we're going to pay and all that. Take it all out as if it never happened, as if it's not part of the case. We're just sitting over here left with someone who took Nancy from her home, but they have not asked for any sort of money. They have not done any sort of ransom note. Is that an abduction? What is the purpose there then, I guess? What's the point? Why was Nancy taken? If they're not going to ask for money, if they're not going to try and get something out of this, what the hell happened here?
I see what your point is.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this was an abduction. And I always go back to who benefits from Nancy being gone.
Yeah. Who?
Do you think they knew that this was Nancy? Do you think they knew specifically who they were targeting?
Yes.
Okay.
That this wasn't some sort of B&E gone wrong. I mean, because the other take I had on this is that this was a B, and you've known, B&E gone wrong. They freaked out. They'd rather not leave the body there than get charged with murder. If you can disappear the body and you never get caught, then, you know, it is what it is. You're able to get away with something horrible, maybe never intending for it to have gone that bad. But I think that's an interesting element. And I spoke to this last night on Court TV of if this is someone that is not a sociopath, it's not a psychopath, that for whatever reason, you know, thought that the best route to get money to provide for one's family is B&E, is robbery, is whatever. Because there's a lot of people who think that, well, this is the path to take. And they somehow justified it in their mind that they're taking money from the rich old lady who's not going to miss it anyhow, or whatever the hell they're telling themselves. And then something this horrible goes wrong and she dies and they end up trying to get rid of the body. That's a person that probably has a bit of humanity in them compared to like a Koberger or just like straight out psychopath. And my guess is they might be sitting here looking at this in absolute horror going, oh my God, I can't unwind this, but here I sit right now. And there's more importantly, a lot of other people around that person that are watching this that may know that that person is responsible for this. And either they speak up and turn that person in, or the guilt and the pressure and the realization that, well, the semblances of humanity that I have around me, that I'm caring for, that I'm robbing people for, they're all now seeing me as a monster. And I'm not a monster. I didn't intend to go kill anybody. I didn't intend for all this to happen. But now this mountain of shit has, you know, come upon me. That little bit of humanity there, I wonder if that's going to be enough to make somebody step up at some point and go, this is insane. This is horrible. This is not what I intended. I should have stepped up further. I'm assuming Nancy died at the beginning, honest to God. I don't think they're sitting there, you know, holding her hostage. That's my take on it. But I do wonder if that could play out, if speaking more to the humanity, not just dollar amounts of $100,000 if you turn somebody in, but the humanity of someone who thought B&E was a route to provide and it turned into this shit show.
I just don't buy it.
No?
No B&E.
No?
Multiple people involved. Look, her purse was left behind. Her cell phone was left behind, which I know you could say, well, that's smart.
But if you killed, if she died right away, and I want to say killed her, I want to say if she died right away by some form of freak accident, tripped, fell, maybe was hit or something, you know, maybe had a heart, I don't know, something where the person's intent was not to go murder her or kidnap her, but that ended up being the course of action that was taken. That's where my mind goes. But, you know, that's just, you know, one of many takes. Let's talk about trucks here. One man told NBC he's been asked twice if he owns a truck. We've got that Circle K gas station saying they've been asking about a truck. What are you taking here? Do you think there's a vehicle of interest that they're looking for out behind the scenes that they're not identifying publicly as of right now?
100%. That Circle K footage is going to have the like Koberger car at some point, right? That they're trying to figure out. I think it's very interesting that later they ended up taking Nancy's car. It made me wonder if Nancy's car was used at all in this and then returned. You know, there's a lot of issues, I think, with how this house and scene was processed. And I'm not trying to Monday morning quarterback. This is obvious to anyone.
Yeah.
Four searches. Does everybody know that? There was the initial search by law enforcement. Locals. The FBI came in and they did everything again. They grid searched, they searched everything. And then remember, the FBI came back because they missed a camera on the roof and they missed the car. Then FBI came back, or law enforcement, I'm not gonna say FBI, but law enforcement came back again and did the sewer search. So, or septic tank search. So, you look at all of that, and all of that should have been done one time. I never understood. Why didn't you take the mat? Why didn't you take the nest holder?
Why?
What about, why didn't you search the roof? I think I've shared with you my story of we as a team, we broke a case because they stored everything we needed in the rain gutters to prove the case.
Yeah.
In plastic. And it wasn't drugs for people who were thinking that. It was indicia of the crime. You have to search the roofs. This is literally investigation 101.
So what the hell's going on here behind the scenes when you have this much, like, are they going back going, oh, well, we are, is it because they don't have much? Because, like, well, what else can we, look closer, guys? There's a sewer we haven't looked at yet, or a septic system we haven't looked at yet. Let's check the roof. Has anybody checked the roof? No, let's check the roof. Or is there information coming in on the back end going, okay, we have now probable cause to look for this. Not that they need probable cause to go look at Nancy's house, but at this point, is it tips that are coming in saying, go look at this, go look at that, or is it, we're out of stuff to look at. Let's look at everything even closer. And they just keep finding more pages to turn in this choose your own adventure from hell.
Well, I wondered when they went back and realized there was the camera on the roof. I wondered if they didn't, when they went back to Nest, if Nest didn't have footage that they, just like this footage from the door cam. And they said, geez, where did that footage come from? And they realized it came from the house camera. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Got an image here in the yard. What vantage could take that? And then you say, oh, we better go look up on that roof. That's my belief as to how they realized they needed the other camera. And then you'll notice it was right after that Circle K that all of a sudden they wanted her car, and to process that. I don't know if there's for sure a nexus. Look, they should have done both. Early on, it shouldn't be, oh, we need to wait on somebody to tell us there's a camera up there, or wait on Nest to talk about some footage. It was just, look, mistakes. Yeah. They should have taken the doormat. They should have on day 11 that camera that Cash Patel put that out. I want to see that night the fence or the tent. I want to see within minutes of that of Cash Patel showing the footage from the stoop. I want to see FBI agents with a tent up doing what they did 2 days later.
Well, we did see the tent up, yesterday?
Finally, yesterday.
I mean, listen, I don't like to Monday morning quarterback. I really don't, because I've been in the shoes of the quarterback, and everybody could pick apart, you know what, the decisions I made and when they made them, but it's stunning to me. I'm just going to say it.
That's the thing. I mean, nobody likes to be Monday morning quarterback, but why is it that it seems like, you know, podcasters and news people and former FBI people, I mean, I've seen so many, you know, people commenting on this stuff, like, why aren't they doing these obvious things? And then suddenly, oh, look, they're doing it, like, because they are getting pressured to do it. This is insane. It's utterly insane. Why does there seem to be this blatant, it's not even like hidden anymore, it's just this blatant level of incompetency that is plaguing this investigation? Is it because there's the two agencies involved and they're not communicating? I mean, there's something is clearly very, very broken here.
I'm not gonna speculate at that. There, I can tell you this, those agents and officers, they are living and breathing this.
I believe it. Yeah.
3 hours of sleep. They're sick to their stomachs. They want to do everything they can to solve this crime. But at the end of the day, it's the leadership, right?
Yes. And
it's what is approved. I can go in as a case agent and say, listen, we've got to do this and we need to get it done now. And, you know, you do have to have certain authorities to do things.
Sure.
I've said this a long time ago, and again, this isn't going to be popular, but it was something back in 2016 when I retired. It was something that a lot of us old hats, right? At that point, I had 28 years of law enforcement in federal law enforcement. And we were like, who's going to do this when we're gone? And I'm not going to talk how great I am or how great all these veterans were, but this is why, Tony, the FBI, after 9/11, there were seven. I'm just going to give you the example of Houston because that's what I know about. Mm-hmm. Seven organized crime squads. All agents were doing were out there working crimes. If you were in the office, you weren't working. That's what the mantra was. Get your butt out there, get informants, do surveillance, beat the bushes. That's how cases are solved, okay? Now I'm going to tell you about the shift. After 9/11, we went to two of our squads. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The other five, guess where all those people went? Hundreds of people. Counterterrorism. How do you do counterterrorism? You sit behind your computer. If you're not in the office, you're not working, and you're working intelligence leads. We always called it chasing ghosts. Mm-hmm. You're not boots on the ground. You're not conducting investigations. And I will say this, Kash Patel has said none of that. We want to get the focus back on gangs and violent crime and those types of crimes. And he's done that, you know, child porn and assaults and of children, all of that. He has shifted the Bureau back how it was almost the entirety of the time I was there.
So just pure speculation, but is this kind of like one of those things which does happen sometimes institutionally in institutions where there's kind of a changing of the guard from time to time, and there's a generational shift of, everybody who had the reps, they all kind of left simultaneously or pretty close to, and then you have the new generation that's coming in and there's just not enough folks with reps in there that are able to give the advice, able to give the direction that's based on experience, because everybody's experiencing a lot of this for the first time.
Yes. I think that that's what you see. I mean, you know, I look back, it was funny because I was talking to Chris Swecker. He was the director number one or two, I mean, behind the FBI director at the FBI. And he was one of my first assistant special agent in charge. Anyway, we're very good friends. And we were talking about this, and Ludwig, who was the one who trained me, mm-hmm. he had 23 years in working organized crime from New York. He was a Hooverite in the Hoover days. I had two other guys, the two Martys in forever. Those are who brought me up. And he always laughs about that. He says, you know, you're one of the last ones that were trained by the Hooverites. Mm-hmm. Those people. And then so it was really this responsibility of my era then to train. But what you saw happening was a shift in the importance. So, I remember this happening, a kidnapping case happening where our SAC said, nah, we're not going to put the resources we really need on or resources on that. We've got, you know, we're worried about terrorism. And I get it. Terrorism. Sure. Number one, international and domestic terrorism are the top priorities of the FBI. Like I said, Kash Patel is shifting that to some degree, But I just wonder, those people haven't been able to work these cases because they weren't properly.
It's like priority shift for a reason at some time, and then years and decades go by, and then you kind of forget why those priorities were shifted to begin with, and then what also you lost as some of those priorities shifted, and why there was a higher call for priority in certain areas, and then why it was even pulled away to begin with, because you're needing to do and address the issues of the moment. Are we seeing a correction? Is this hopefully a correction that's going on at some point with the Bureau of let's reshift as to the world we live in today, not the one that we reacted to on 9/11?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Certainly, there still needs to be that squads and that priority and all of that on domestic and international terrorism. We have to keep our world safe. But the problem is you don't have agents, I believe, that exist that had the experience of working bank robberies and extortions and kidnappings that came up in my era.
Sure.
And then we were able to pass along of that true investigative. I mean, I'm telling you, when I left the FBI, you were in trouble if you weren't behind your desk. Mm-hmm. That's a sad state of affairs.
Sure. It's reps. That's really kind of what a lot of it comes down to, is reps.
It's great stuff. It's knowing. Yeah. I wondered when nobody was out there, and I don't know if you heard me discuss this on Twitter, but literally within like 1 hour of that coming out, maybe less, I said, okay, let's get the height. Let's get the shoe size. Come on. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I was twittering going, let's go.
I know.
Not just me. I'm not trying to call you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying all FBI agents that have decades of experience are saying that, because we know we would have had our happy asses out on that porch doing that measurement within the first hour.
Maybe we need a FBI mentorship program where some of you guys can come in and help guide from the sidelines.
There's a thought.
Like, hey guys, here's what might work better than what you're doing, because what is going on right now, my God, at the end of the day, let's hope Nancy Guthrie can be found alive. One more question. What's your take on this? Do you think Nancy left the house alive, and do you think she's still alive today?
I really do think she left the house alive. I really do. To me, this is just what I see. This is just my opinion based on the blood trail. Yeah. I think she was carried. I think that's why we see those droplets dripping down. And then particularly where they go to close the door again, she's held longer. And so that's when you see a little bit of spatter, not spatter like somebody being crushed over the head against the wall, but rather the blood dripping. And recall, she was on blood thinner. She has a pacemaker, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
So, and we've seen many pictures of her, that bruising on the hand, which is indicative of people on blood thinners. So it makes sense to me that through, you know, the action that took place against her, she was cut and bruised and bled easily, and I think maybe carried.
Yeah.
That's, remember, her cane was left behind.
Yeah.
The reporting. I really do believe she was alive. I think they needed more people involved in this to drive the car, to deal with her, to take her someplace, to stash her. I just think there's more people involved.
And that means more chances for somebody to crack at some point too.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's very important, without a doubt. Your thoughts in the comments section, give them to us, Substack or YouTube. The links are in the description, hiddenkillers.substack.com. Join us and give us your thoughts. We'll continue the conversation there in the comments. As always, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, your insight, always so valuable. Thank you so much for coming on today and giving us your thoughts on the latest in this case. Until next time, for Todd, for Stacy, for Jennifer, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacy Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Six photos and the videos from the doorbell camera. The first visual evidence in 11 days, a masked individual in gloves carrying that backpack and the holstered weapon approaching the door covers the camera with cilantro or brush or whatever the hell that was. Every frame in that tells the story, the gear, the movement, the improvisation. And what does it actually tell us? That's what I want to get into right now. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is with us to help get a take on what exactly it is we were looking at with that the masked man on Nancy Guthrie's porch. I've been discussing this all week. It came out. This is the first time that you and me have had a chance to sit down and discuss this. Jen, the floor is yours. What did you see in that video of that man approaching that porch?
I saw a guy that was very familiar with there. He beelined straight to that camera because he knew where it was. And some people say, well, Jen, that's where everybody's camera is. Well, no, my camera is off to the side on a different wall. So everybody has their camera in different spots. He beelined straight to that. So somebody either told him it was there, he cased the location and knew it was there, or he has been there before and was familiar with it. That was the first thing I saw. Secondarily, that pistol that was holstered in that ridiculous holster with no thumb break in the front region, that is somebody who doesn't know how to handle a gun well, and he wanted to be able to easily draw it to scare and manipulate Annie. Nancy. I was so happy to see that wasn't a K-bar knife, right?
Right.
Different discussion.
This murder brought to you by K-bar. Yeah.
Yeah, this was something when you see somebody with a gun go in there, and we never heard about casings or that, you know, anybody was shot. This told me it was used for manipulation, much like in the Delphi case, right? That was mm-hmm. the situation. They believe anyway that there was a gun used to manipulate the girls. Back to this case, though, the other thing I saw, he was prepared, but not fully prepared because he had to pull up some scrub brush to obscure his face. He realized, yeah, the hand isn't working because I actually need that hand to remove it. So now what am I going to do? So this is no professional. Mm-hmm. I would submit this is his first rodeo at abducting an 84-year-old woman or any woman or any person for that matter. So he decides to use a Walmart backpack that's easily identifiable. He has a mask that I think has already been identified. I haven't posted on it. I'm getting ready to. He is stepping with shoes on that sateel tile. They're going to know his exact shoe size. They've already determined his height. He spent way too long on that porch, unconcerned. Tony, this is not a professional, but he has done a great job at evading law enforcement. So I'll give him that.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, so that all being said, that this is not a professional. You said, I mean, it's maybe his first rodeo. Was this a planned abduction? Or is this a B&E gone horribly wrong? He was in that house for like apparently 40 some minutes. If we're to look at the timestamps and everything, is that someone that's like, oh God, what do I do now? Did something go horribly wrong in that house with Nancy Guthrie? Maybe the intent was she'll just sleep through the night and never know anybody broke in. I mean, this doesn't seem like a man that is ready to go steal a person unless something horribly changed in those 40 minutes and he thought, it's better to not have a body than there is having a body being found here.
This is planned, Tony.
You think, okay, so you're telling me you think this was prepared to go in and it was intended to be an abduction, nothing else.
I do.
Okay.
So, but if this is somebody who this is kind of their first rodeo, not prepared, how are they evading arrest this long?
Well, because that Nest camera was taken. The neighborhood has a light pollution policy. Have any of you guys ever lived in a neighborhood like that?
Haven't lived in one, but have visited one. We've got one in Door County, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I mean, it's lovely at night. You can see the stars. It's beautiful, but it's also not exactly opportune when you're trying to investigate a murder.
Exactly. And I lived in one, and it's insane. I mean, you walk outside and you look up, and it's like Dances with Wolves skyline with all mm-hmm. these stars, nobody is allowed to have not even a porch light on.
Yeah.
So now what do we have? What does a camera need to have a picture? It has to have some ambient light. Now, I think this is really promising, though, seeing how well this Nest camera did. Again, there was light. And it did well. We have not seen any footage from that ceiling or from the roof yet. The law enforcement is going to have that because that camera is intact and has its hard drive. So I think they already have that. By the way, this guy didn't take her out piggyback ride. Somebody pulled up or a car is there. There's one photo. I swear, I think I see a car. I also need to post about that. I just have not had time. But I believe there's a car. And that license plate readers and other cameras perhaps in that neighborhood are going to grasp that. You know, it's not as easy as Idaho, where you've got cameras everywhere, open area. You don't have cactus every, you know, 3 feet. But it's going to be captured. That Circle K got something important as it is. And let's not forget, the FBI and law enforcement is constantly, seemingly, at Annie and Tommaso's house. They're either there picking up mail, or they're there conducting evidence searches, or they're searching around in their bushes, or they're re-canvassing their neighbors. Look, they have not let go of that, and I think that's because they are not satisfied with the alibi provided.
I want to throw this at you about that premise, because I know obviously early on there was some reporting from some outlets that one of them was a prime suspect. It was like day one or two that quite a word being thrown around at somebody. The idea here that immediately, I mean, number one, anybody in that family is going to be somewhat of a suspect initially until they can basically rule them out. So, I mean, that is understandable at the beginning, all these days in. If we are to understand how Nancy Guthrie was operating throughout her life and in these last handful of years, you have the daughter down the road who's pretty much the caregiver. You know, she's the one, she's close by, so she can check on mom, do this, do that. So a lot of the information that's going to be coming and going about the world of Nancy Guthrie is probably going through Annie. It's probably going through her communication. It's probably going through her email and this and that. So she can help take care of her mom. So it would make a lot of sense that the FBI is looking at all of the details, all the digital evidence, all the digital footprint of everything that the family is involved in. Not necessarily, I mean, to rule out number one, but not necessarily because they truly are going to come down to be the suspect here or a person of interest or anything like that, but because they were the gatekeeper for 80% of Nancy's life in the last handful of years.
I agree with you, Tony. I don't think you can make the leap that just because they're there and conducting all this investigation, that means that they are the suspect necessarily. Mm-hmm. But what it does tell me is that they're not eliminated, which they well said that nobody's eliminated. By the way, they did say that Uber driver was eliminated. And I believe Carlos down south is eliminated. And obviously the backpack guy in the alley 5 miles away, he's been eliminated. So there have been some eliminations. What I would like to see in this case is law enforcement come forward like they did in the Idaho 4 case at this time and just say, listen, these guys are eliminated and the rest remain. I think the problem, though, with doing that is when you look then at who remains, it could be problematic. And that's why I don't think they're going to do it.
Let's talk about that other video that came out, the backpack guy video. And we call it the backpack. I mean, I know both of them had a guy with a backpack on. One of the guys had two backpacks. And we're talking about the video where he's by the cars and it looks like he puts a backpack over the side of a rail for a second or a barrier, then takes it and then leaves the scene. Looks like he has a very, very similar jacket and he's wearing a backpack. And from what little we can tell in the video, looks like it could very likely be the same guy. This is like 5 miles away from where the Nancy lived, where the crime took place. The timestamp on that video was 1:53 in the morning. The timestamp from what we understand on the video doorbell video is 2:12. It's about a 19-minute window there, 5 miles away. It's certainly not inconceivable that that person could have gotten there in that window of time. And we don't have an official any official word really at all on this. It's been all just media speculation. FBI hasn't said this is the same person. yes or no. But there has been a lot of speculation. Is it the same guy? Is it not the same guy? What are the odds of somebody wearing pretty damn near close to the same things lurking around at night within 5 miles of her house, looking fairly similar on the exact same, you know, time window and plane that we're working at here, Jen?
Tony came in hot on this yesterday.
Yeah.
First saw this film, actually not yesterday, the day before yesterday, and looked it over. And, you know, my take has never changed.
Yeah.
It's not the guy. It's not related. He's sauntering around with two backpacks on, his shirt's untucked. I don't think this even resembles the guy in my view. You can tell how tall he is. This guy's taller based on the height when you look at that fence line. He's got two backpacks. He's vaping, hanging out before he's going to commit the biggest crime of his life. No way. This guy has nothing to do with it. It's an absolute another red herring. And we're going to see more because now the guy's asked for a lot more camera footage. And listen, there's rough areas of Tucson. This was 5 miles away. That's actually not close at all, in my opinion. This wasn't a neighborhood. This isn't him. No. And the timing is off. The Nest camera was removed at 1:47.
Mm-hmm.
That other timestamp that you're talking about, it says they said there was a body, but it could have been an animal scene. That could have been from a different camera, you know, the one on the rooftop. They were very vague about that other one. The timing doesn't work. So basically, it's a complete rabbit hole and junk.
And nothing to see here.
Just more noise.
And that's the problem. There is so much noise in this case. And behind the scenes, I think we all want to hope and pray that they have far more than what they're releasing. In the Koberger case, because that's all we can do is look back at other cases. What is being said versus what's actually going on? In that case, you had Chief Fry flat out saying to the media that, you know, we have no persons of interest at this time. We're asking for your help. Send us this, send us that. Meanwhile, in the background, they're following Koberger to Pennsylvania. So, and they already had his name because they had the DNA profile from the knife sheath while they're publicly releasing that sort of messaging. What in your experience, what is your gut telling you right now, Jen, of what is actually going on behind the scenes in this case versus what they're publicly stating?
Oh my gosh, look, there is so much going on behind the scenes. Remember, they have all this information from searches. Look at the cameras that we've just talked about here, and there's so much more that they're going to be looking at. The license plate readers, other businesses that would have captured vehicles. They have so much to go over. By the way, I also, and nobody's really talking about this, I know I've talked about it early on, and I'm going to say it again. These people would have all been polygraphed and buccal swabbed. When I say these people, you know, the pool guy, the lawn guy, the housekeeper, Annie, Tommaso, the whole family, everybody has, that's happened. Gosh, I want to see those results. But we're not going to see them, but there's so much going on from that aspect as well. So that's what they're doing. As far as their messaging, listen, the messages we hear, for instance, from the sheriff, the people doing the work are probably three or four levels below him. He's got his assistant chief and this person, unless they put up the case agents and the detectives assigned, you never really know. And that's why he sounds like he has no idea what's going on, because he doesn't. His briefings haven't been good enough, and he's not a professional speaker, just like what happened with Fry. Remember what Fry did? They ended up getting $1 million grant, and they hired a company to do their messaging. It was too late, but at least they thought to do it. And that's why you see, and I always say this, that's why the Bureau doesn't talk or talk limitedly, because you can just only stick your foot in your mouth. It's best to be quiet and go about getting these cases done. And you said it early on, Tony, there's a life on the line here. This isn't like you're solving a case, you're solving it. More importantly, you were trying to find a human. So
yeah,
he was barely alive. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, I mean, all of this, it's like, okay, because we talk about cases of how do we get there? How do we get this solved? And some, it'll take time. We don't have time. So, like, anything and everything right now that can be executed to use needs to be executed to use. It can't be, we can't have that gray area right now. We have to go absolute as far as we can with all the resources that we have. And ego needs to get out of this equation. Unfortunately, it seems like there's been a lot of that mixed in so far.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretsky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.